welcome to Duskwall and to the first episode of the Magpies Podcast. I'm Rhi, your game master. This is an actual play podcast using the Blades in the Dark roleplay system, designed by John Harper. In Blades, the player characters are scoundrels and criminals in a corrupt, haunted, industrial fantasy city, trying to claw their way to the top of the heap and securing enough wealth and power to one day retire into luxury. It's a game of high risk for high rewards and leaping before you look. A couple things about today's episode. First, while this is the first episode, it isn't the first game session. We played a couple games prior to this to give everyone a time to learn a bit about the rules, the world, and their characters. So there are some references to things that happened in those first sessions, but nothing that should be too confusing and nothing that's really plot critical. Second, apologies for some of the audio issues. The roommates of one of our players decided to start having a very loud party a couple hours into recording. I edited around it as much as I could, but a bit still makes it in from time to time. Sorry about that. Now then, let's get started, shall we? Welcome to Duskwall. It's a city of many names. The Skovlanders who founded it called it Duskwall. The Akarosian cartographers who mapped the place called it North Hook. These days, most people call it Duskwall, or simply the Dusk. It's the jewel of the Empire, a crowded, crushed city surrounded by barriers of lightning. Home to the docks where the great Leviathan hunters set sail to seek the demons whose blood fuels the Empire. This is the year 847 of the Imperium. 847 years since the cataclysm that ended the world, that turned the sea to black ink and rearranged the continents, that shattered the sun and broke the gates of death. 847 years since the immortal emperor, may he reign 1,000 lifetimes, ascended to the throne. The people of this world are the descendants of those who survived its ending, and they are a people willing to do anything to continue to survive. And it is in this city and in this year that we find ourselves here, on a dark afternoon street in Duskwall's Night Market District, outside a tavern favored by one of the city's countless newly fledged gangs, another band of hopefuls looking to claw their way to wealth and power. Will they be among the lucky few to succeed? Or will they join the ghosts and the broken haunting the city streets? Only one way to find out. It is late afternoon in Night Market in Duskwall, and we are starting off in the inside of the Hound's Paw Tavern. And can you guys tell me what's the place look like? How crowded do you think it is now?
Oh, I was going to say, like, I think it's more crowded than it usually is. Like, purely because we hang out there and people have sort of caught on to the fact that we might be a bigger deal than people thought.
Okay, yeah, that's true. You guys are starting to build up a little bit of a reputation. And it is located near the dog racing tracks in Night Market. And I think you guys had said that it's like decorated with the little jerseys that racing dogs wear. And they probably have like, I'm picturing like framed like sketches of the dogs that have like the little ink paw prints on them as like an autograph.
Aww. It's the world's most adorable sports bar.
Yeah, it's a very cute sports bar. So it's a little more crowded than usual. There's a couple of wait staff delivering drinks. Your friend Rigney is at the bar. He is the owner of the tavern and a frequent source of information and jobs for you guys. He's tall, very dark skin, dark eyes, really, really long black hair that is done in a bunch of these tiny little braids that like hang down to his waist. And he usually has like these brightly colored ribbons like wrapped around and interwoven with his braids. You guys have only ever seen him wear pinstripe pants and vest and a button-up shirt with the sleeves rolled up. They're different versions of that outfit, but it's always that same theme.
And bartenders are legally required to have their sleeves rolled up.
Yes, yes. And he always has like a silk handkerchief in his pocket that matches the colors of whatever ribbons he's got in his hair. And so he's at the bar, you know, making drinks for people, chatting with a couple of other people who are at the bar, and the door swings open. Finn is leading the group in. What does Finn look like?
She is an Akoros girl of around 25. She has a very stocky build, a round face. She has olive skin. Her eyes are very, they match her face. They're very round. They're deep set. They're gray. She has black hair that she's cropped very close to her head. So like, sort of like a page boy haircut. She wears a rough looking tunic. It's probably got some holes in it. It's definitely been through a few fights. There are some dark marks on there that might be dried blood, but no one has asked. and then she wears really, really sturdy work boots, like the kind that you would see down at the docks. And then she also wears suspenders and a long coat.
Cool. So yeah. Finn comes in and starts walking towards your usual table. After Finn, Minx comes in.
Minx is a pretty tall Akoros woman, probably around mid-20s. She's obviously dressed fancier and trying to project more of a noble air, but her clothes are not like mismatched, but most people versed in the subject can tell that they're not nearly as high quality as an actual noble might wear. They're definitely the clothes of someone being pretentious, essentially.
She bought them off the rack rather than having them tailor-made for her. Like,
right, exactly. She totally bought these.
she got them off the rack.
There we go.
But it is somewhat imposing in that a lot of the flowing or puffy parts are kind of pulled in either just by being sewn in or having some sort of strap around it. And her left arm is clearly outfitted for dueling purposes. And she kind of has the one arm guard, like the leather pauldron on her left shoulder. And she is much more, probably more smiley than anyone else in the bar at this point. Definitely walks haughtily.
Behind Minx is Blair.
Blair is a very small Tychiros child, basically. She's 19. She's very short. She's like 5'1". She has like medium toned skin and like really messy, unkempt, dark brown hair. Her Tychirosi features are basically just horns and very pale pupilless eyes, pointed ears, stuff like that. She likes to just smear this really messy face paint like all over her eyes just cause. And her clothes, she has like a dark gray black motif going on with most of her clothes with a couple dashes of like bright blue accents like an actual magpie would. And she keeps her spirit mask strapped to her back for easy access. And she has this really tattered black cape that kind of resembles feathers.
Cool. And then bringing up the rear is Myra.
So Myra is somewhere in her early 20s, maybe 23 to 25. She doesn't know her exact age. She is pretty spare figure, very austere clothing, dark, sort of a patchwork skirt and like a vest and shirt, all very practical. Curly dark hair pulled severely back, large dark eyes. And she is probably like one of the quieter of the group at times.
All four of you head over to your usual table, which despite the larger than usual crowd remains open. Rigney kind of waves a hand at you as you come in, and you know that he'll bring over your drinks in a bit, but he's clearly pretty busy right now. So the four of you sit down.
So where'd you come across that one?
What?
Your limp. That's new.
Oh, I just twisted my ankle.
Oh.
What about you?
A bit of a gunshot.
A bit? We okay. did a- Okay. So, something you have to know is that we pulled off pretty much the biggest heist in our entire career, which is very short, I'll admit. It also went very bad.
I wouldn't say it went terribly. We did accomplish some of our goals.
How much money did we get, though?
Not nearly enough.
Maybe we didn't get coin, but think about the gain in reputation. That's important as well.
Which was our end goal with doing it two in one night.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, I was also sort of in it to stick it to the bill hooks, and that lot of good that did us.
And it was thoroughly exciting.
That is very true. To catch you up, we made it look like we attacked two different gangs headquarters in one night.
Jeez.
So, billhooks and grinders. We made a deal with Ulf Ironborn. It didn't go as well as any of us had hoped, so that's off for the future, but...
Well, you tried.
Also, there was a rather distressing amount of fire, but we did get it done.
Man, you guys did some really exciting stuff without me. It's way more exciting than what I did.
Well, what did you do?
You know, the usual. I met up with Dowler, and, you know, I did some ghosty stuff, and, you know, twisted my ankle, and I made a friend, and he gave me this really weird stuff, and I don't know what it is, but I'm gonna look into it. So she'll reach into her pocket and show the rest of the table.
Yeah, so it's this very small, looks kind of like it's organic, looks like it's kind of some sort of wooden sort of thing. It's kind of rounded and smooth on the bottom, has like a sort of knobbly kind of cap type thing on top. None of you have ever seen this before.
Huh.
I poke it.
What is this, some sort of seed?
I really don't know. I mean, I imagine I'd have to, like, I don't know, maybe dissect one to really get an idea of what it really is, but I don't have a lot of them. I don't want to do that.
Maybe we should burn it.
No! What would that accomplish? I would just put it into ash.
It might be best to plant it, dear.
There's a handful of places in the city where you can actually grow trees. You guys do not have access to any of them.
Well, it had to come from somewhere, didn't it?
We don't have the kind of money it takes to grow a seed.
And we don't even know if this is really a seed. It could be, I don't know.
Perhaps there's some old books you could find?
Yeah, I'm mostly just hitting the books right now until I can get a better idea. Oh, and I did find some really cool mushrooms. I got one. It glows.
Ooh, delightful.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
The glowing ones make a wonderful tea, Rigney says as he comes over with a tray and hands out your regular drinks.
Really? I need to know the recipe.
Does the tea glow?
It does.
Oh my gosh.
What kind of amazing are we talking about, though?
Kind where you should plan on clearing your next 8 to 12 hours because you won't be getting anything done other than staring into the distance.
That sounds awesome!
That does sound like a delightful evening of tea.
Well, looks like all four of you are back together again. That's good to see. There's a lot of people here who are interested in you, and he kind of glances around, and you do notice that there's, like, a few clusters of people who seem to be sort of, like, stealing glances at you and, like, talking to themselves. None of it seems to be, like, hostile. They're just kind of like, oh, man, is that them?
If I ever catch anyone looking at us, I wink at them.
I wave at one of them.
Yeah, and people, like, when they realize that you've seen them, kind of get a little flustered and look away and, like, kind of embarrassed that they got caught. But there's actually a couple here who might be interested in contracting you for some work, if you're interested.
Work would be good. I didn't get any coin last time I went out.
That's a shame.
Well, I got some other stuff. But coin, you know?
We could use a job.
Coin is good.
All right, well, give me a moment, I'll send him on over. So he walks over to the bar, and you see him talk to a pair of women who are seated there, speaks to them briefly, one of them nods, and they both walk over to the table. The woman who reaches you first, she is an Eruvian woman, so she's got warm, medium brown skin, very short black hair, dark eyes. The other woman, pale skin, long brown hair that's done into a braid, blue eyes. Both of them are dressed in kind of close to how Myra is dressed. Decent clothes, a little worn, more practical than fashionable. As they come over, the Eruvian woman begins signing in Imperial Sign Language, and the other woman starts translating. Hello, you're the Magpies, correct?
Mm-hmm.
May we sit?
Of course.
Yeah. No one else is coming.
So they pull over a couple chairs and sit down. And I guess as a question, do you think any of you would have reason to have learned Imperial Sign Language?
I feel like Minx may have some experience in it, just because she's kind of a conversationalist type and would want to communicate with as many as possible. Like, it's probably spotty, but...
So you're not fluent. So they both sit down, and the Eruvian woman begins signing again, and her companion is translating. My name is Lonnie Sathiri, and this is my partner and translator, Roxanne Elpis. We are journalists with the North Hook Mirror. And you guys know the Mirror. It's one of the smaller papers in Duskwall. Has a reputation for being a little more independent than a lot of the other papers, which are, you know, like, basically run by the nobility. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not to say that it's entirely free of corruption or outside influence, but it's better than most. So Lonnie continues, we're working on a story, a big story, and we've run into a bit of a roadblock in trying to get information. We've tried all the legitimate channels we can, and, well, we're hoping that you might be able to gain things a little less legitimately.
Well, that is our trade, but I suppose that would depend on what information you're seeking.
A few days ago, a couple of my contacts in the Gondoliers were attacked and died of their injuries later that night. They were questioned by the Bluecoats before they passed away, and according to a source that I have, there's a report of what they said. But the Bluecoats aren't pressing charges, they're not doing any further investigation, and they won't release the report to us. I have a suspicion about who's behind the attack, but I need that report to confirm it so that we can keep digging into it more.
Ah, well, that makes it somewhat more simple that an exchange of material for material. What material shall be coming our way?
Well, we can't afford to pay you much. Journalists aren't exactly the wealthiest in the city. We can pay you only 2 coin. But you can also, you know, if you're getting into the Bluecoat station, you might be able to liberate a few things out of evidence lockup or, you know, wherever they stash all of their bribes that could fill that out a little bit better. I understand that we're sort of asking you to do this out of the goodness of your hearts, but we do need help.
The question that interests me is, who is it you suspect?
The two of them sort of pause and exchange a look, and then they both kind of shift so that their hands are a little more blocked by their bodies, so that anybody looking at you would have a harder time seeing. And Lonnie says, we believe it's the work of a secret society called the Circle of Flame.
Do any of us know that?
None of you have heard of this group. You know, like, secret societies in Duskwall are a thing. You know that there's some out there. There's all kinds of cults and such things, but you haven't ever heard of one called the Circle of Flame.
And what is this Circle of Flame?
We don't know much. We have reason to believe that their membership is fairly limited, but very well connected, quite wealthy, powerful. From what we've managed to turn up, it seems to be a society of antiquarians, which mostly means that they're doing work with the occult and other such unseemly things. Cool. Roxanne doesn't translate that. She shoots you a look.
Well, I mean, not that I would do any of that stuff, but, like, sorry, it just sounds really interesting to me. I'll shut up now.
She, like, translates that out slowly, and just, like, both of them are kind of giving you a, like, okay, mildly suspicious kind of look, but Lonnie continues with, oh, I have heard about them first through the Gondoliers. Some of my contacts there had said that they had been the victim of thefts and intimidation from hired muscle connected to this Circle of Flame.
We'll take it.
Well, hold a moment.
Well, you don't want us to go after spooky stuff?
Well, no, I do want us all to have a good time, Blair. But as payment for a task with what it seems like deeper running implications, 2 coin to split amongst ourselves is, and I understand you're a journalist, there isn't much to give, but that's not a share we would normally go in on a job. I understand if you cannot provide more, but since you are asking essentially a half favor for us to ply our trade, does it not make sense that you ply yours to our benefit at some point?
Roxanne translates that out, and they sign back and forth a little bit.
What are they saying?
Minx, you're able to pick up that they're talking about, you know, trading favors, not sure what we could do, talk to the gondoliers. Basically, they're trying to figure out, like, I'm not sure what we could do for them, but we'll figure out something. And then Roxanne turns to you and says, that's agreeable. We can, if you should have some need of assistance from us, we'll do our best to deliver. We do have access to a fair amount of information, archives, if you ever need that sort of thing.
You said that they were threatening people, getting them to cough up money.
They didn't seem interested in money. They were more interested in what the gondoliers knew. There's a lot of secrets lost to the canals of the city, and the gondoliers have been sailing them for as long as the city has stood. From what I had been told prior to this attack, it seemed like the hired muscle that was coming around to threaten them and question them was interested in those sort of things, asking about artifacts or rituals or spirits that they may have seen.
Finn's gonna lean back in her chair and sort of like cross her arms over Jess, like, I'm never a fan of people coming around and throwing their weight around when they have no right to. That's why I'm in. I'll even give up my share of the coin, if that's the big worry.
Well, now that the scales have been balanced somewhat, it seems like a task we can undertake.
Be a useful connection in future.
So we have a deal?
Indeed.
Finn spits in her hand and holds it out.
Finn.
Lonnie just kind of looks at you, shrugs, spits in her hand, and shakes.
Well, all right then. I suppose no offense taken.
The two women start to move back from the table as if getting ready to leave.
I'm going to sign at Lonnie and not say it out loud. Essentially, Minx is going to flirt. She's going to extend an invitation. Because if there's one thing Minx knows how to do in every language, it's flirt.
So you do that, and Roxanne shoots you the dirtiest.
Oh, shit.
Lonnie seems amused. Roxanne, it is like instantly like,
oh, shit. How did I not pick up on that? Damn.
Well, they were not giving any indication. They've been very professional, but.
Minx, what the fuck did you tell them?
I think as I just discovered, some things are best left unsaid.
Lonnie just shakes her head and signs something to the effect of, like, flattered but taken. You can find us at the Mirror's offices on Ink Row once you've finished. All that we need is that report. Anything else that you happen to recover while you're obtaining it is all yours. Thank you.
Of course.
A pleasure.
You're welcome.
And so they stand up and head out, and Roxanne, like, shoots, like, a glare over her shoulder at Minx and then, like, loops her arm through Lonnie's.
I sign back a very meek, sorry.
Damn.
I think it's probably information gathering time, right?
The Blue Coat Station in Night Market, which is actually not super far from where you guys are. It's just kind of within the bounds of your hunting grounds. And that's where the report is, but you guys have to figure out how to get your hands on it.
I feel like Myra might be helpful going to one of her people. She does have a friend who's a Blue Coat archivist who might be able to tell us a little bit about the station.
Where do you want to, are you going to meet with him in his little office as usual, or are you guys going to meet somewhere else?
I think it's fine just going to his office. People are used to me showing up there.
I assume you're going to roll consort on this one?
Yes.
Okay. So your highest is a 4, so that's standard. He's in his tiny little office, and as you're coming in, what looks like a young teen with just like a huge armload of books and papers comes out, nearly runs into you. Oh, sorry, ma'am, and skitters off down the hall. Jaren is inside flipping through some books, quickly scribbling down notes, and, you know, when you come in, he glances up and, oh, Myra, hi, what can I do for you?
I actually have a little bit of information. I'm sure you're very startled at that.
You know, you could come see me when you don't need things. He's smiling as he says it, but you can also tell, like, it's sincere. We're updating all of the patrol routes in the city, and now some magistrate in Brightstone is protesting where the routes are being routed to, so we're scrambling to try to reorganize them, and it's... Anyway, sorry. What are you looking for?
I just had some questions about the layout of the station down the night market. Don't worry, we're not gonna, like, attack it. We just... quick in and out, don't worry.
I'd rather not know even that. I mean, it's a standard layout. I have only been there a couple times, and just in, you know, to pick up reports and things.
So you would know the route there from one of the doors?
Well, I mean, I don't... Usually when I pick up reports from someplace, I just go to the front desk and tell them that I'm there to pick up a report, and I show them my badge, and then they send someone off and come back with a big satchel of papers, and then I leave.
Could you make a guess at where it would... Do you think the layout would be similar to here?
Well, they don't have a dedicated archivist there. So reports are probably with the chief, and then, you know, they would eventually get funneled up, you know, to me or one of the other archivists. You're not going to do anything that's going to get me in trouble, are you?
Nobody will know it had anything to do with you.
Sure hope that's true. There's a... Excuse me, miss? Excuse me. And, like, the page is trying to, like, squeeze around you with an armful of papers again. Oh, yeah, just bring those over here. Is there anything else that you need, Myra? He takes the papers and sets them down.
Nothing in particular. Thank you so much. We'll arrange lunch sometime soon, right?
Once I get out of this, yes.
How about this? I will bring you lunch to your desk.
That would be wonderful. What time is it? Did I eat lunch today?
Please go eat, Jaren.
Yeah, I'll have someone get me dinner. Good luck out there.
Thank you.
All right, and so, yeah, you head back out, and you hear him calling the page back, being like, get me a sandwich. So who's investigating gathering next?
Well, I was just going to survey the place.
You stroll the handful of blocks over to the Blue Coat station. Yeah, go ahead. And you said you were going to survey?
Yes. Although what I would like to do is use my Rook's Gambit ability to perhaps use Sway instead. I'm chatting people up to get information.
Okay, so that is a 4. So asking around about sort of... So tell me again what kind of information you're trying to get, like patrols in the area, when people are on and off shift.
Yeah, exactly. I essentially want to get a grip on what kind of resistance we'll be facing.
Usually the way the patrols are set up, they're kind of staggered out. So you've usually got one or two squadrons leaving every couple hours.
Okay.
Like leaving and coming back.
So the patrols could be ranging pretty far out.
Yes, yeah, they're sending out patrols to cover pretty much the whole district.
So can I get the sense of an idea, like, what point in those 2 hours it would be best to execute on? Like, the most people are gone and they're the most far out?
Probably in the middle. You know, nobody's going to be coming back super soon. So if you wait until, you know, an hour after patrols have gone out, then you'll have about an hour before a whole bunch more people show up. So Finn and Blair head off to the so the way that Night Market is in a lot of places in Duskwall actually are set up is there's kind of like the upper streets, the surface level streets, and then there's a lot of subterranean streets running along the canals. So you guys head down to the lower streets, basically the closest public dock to you guys, which is where the gondoliers will hang out, you know, looking for fares.
I definitely want to pick, like, the toughest looking gondolier and sort of head over, lean against whatever, like, mooring post is there and look up at them. I hear you've been having some trouble around here lately.
What skill are you rolling? Or what action?
I'm probably going to be using Sway.
Blair, are you going to be doing anything? You're just kind of hanging out?
I'm going to see how this goes. I'm probably...
Okay.
I'll chime in if this goes badly. Which,
well,
it did.
Yeah, you'll be chiming in. So, the gondolier you have selected, she is about 6.5 feet tall.
I don't know.
Oh, shit.
Oh, hey, girl.
She has some prison tattoos on her forearm.
Oh, no.
A really nasty-looking scar down one side of her face. And she just looks over at you, raises an eyebrow, and no trouble that we haven't been able to handle. Thanks.
Listen, I'm just gonna cut right to the chase.
She looks over and then has to look down a considerable amount.
Yeah. We heard that a couple of your guys may have, gotten it a little mixed up a couple days ago. Do you know anything about that?
Why do you want to know?
Well,
I mean, you two are obviously not here to try more of the same, because...
Yeah, that's not our thing.
And she, like, looks at the two of you and then looks at, like, the three other gondoliers that are standing there, just kind of, like, they're not getting involved in the conversation, but they're watching.
Well, what I want to know is what they looked like and what kind of information they were trying to get.
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Do you know someone who was?
Yeah, the two guys who were dead.
Did you know them?
Yeah, I mean, we, you know, hung out at the docks around the same time every now and then. One of them was a guy who went by Slip, and the other was Solberg. Don't remember his first name. Edwin? Alwyn? Something ended in Wyn.
Okay.
Yeah, they were good at their jobs, didn't really ever have any run-ins with customers or any of these, you know, thugs that have been shaking people down.
Well, if we have anything to say about it, people aren't going to be shaking your people up anymore.
Oh, they haven't bothered me.
Well, you're a mountain!
We obviously weren't talking about you. I mean, look at you. You're ripped.
You are physically impressive.
That actually, like, when Blair says that, actually finally gets her to, like, crack a smile. And she's
Blair is adorable.
I mean, we were talking about just the gondoliers as a whole. You know, the royal you.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't really know much about the attack. I knew the two guys, but I wasn't there. I haven't been hit by any of these crew. But if you can, you know, get them to stop, it'd be nice to, you know, have friends stop turning up with, you know, black eyes or broken legs or dead.
Yeah, well, I've got experience at this sort of thing.
And you said you didn't really know anyone who you'd think would have any leads?
Afraid not.
How about this? Idea. Do you happen to know the exact place where they were hit? Maybe we could search there for clues?
I mean, if you want to, it's been a few days and it's rained, but you're welcome to. She points off down the canal. It's the East Queensway dock. You just, well, if you've got coin, I can just take you there.
Yeah, I've got coin.
No, it's not that expensive to get a gondola
Finn
ride. Unless you want
to this.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, if you want to pay her extra, you are welcome to
also,
do so.
Give her a tip. Finn likes her.
Give her a tip.
So
she has big muscles.
Yeah.
So yeah, you hand her a sack of coin, and she kind of like her hand drops a little bit because it's a lot heavier than she expected, and she sort of weighs it a little. All right,
my finger guns.
Get you there as quickly as you can, and she like holds out a hand to help you guys in, and goes pulling off down the canal. It's not a long trip, like maybe 10 minutes. And yeah, she gets you to the dock in question. And as the tall, buff gondolier lady is helping them step onto the dock, they notice painted on the wall in what looks like pitch, very, very dark black, kind of uneven spiral. Finn, you probably don't know what it is. Blair, knowing you and the kinds of things you get up to,
yes,
you recognize this as the symbol of one of the forgotten gods. The god in question is the father of the abyss. Gondolier who brought you here helps you guys out and says, yeah, this is where the attack took place. We've been avoiding it for a bit. Give the dead their space. If you want to take a look around and see if there's anything to find, you're welcome to. I'm gonna... And she, like, points back off down the canal.
Yeah, no, totally fair.
Oh, I think we're good. Yeah.
Thanks for the lift.
Good luck.
Bye.
She heads away down the canal. So yeah, what do you want to look for? How do you want to look?
I would like to attune with my spirit mask and see if looking at the symbol through the mask can tell me anything more. And also just survey the area.
Yeah, then go ahead and roll attune.
Oh, all right.
So two.
Yeah.
So limited information. The symbol doesn't really show up as anything special in your spirit mask. It's not enchanted or anything. It's just a symbol. So the ghost field is many things, and it can show many things. One of those things is memories of a sort. The ghost field remembers older versions of Duskwall. That's how you're able to use, you know, a ghost key to open a door in the ghost field, even if that door doesn't exist in reality anymore.
Yeah.
And when traumatic emotional events happen, the ghost field will remember those too. So as you turn and look away from the symbol towards the dock, and you can see two shadowy, blurred figures, you know, moving defensively, throwing their arms up to protect their heads, curling in on themselves in pain, eventually falling to the dock. So basically you're able to see a very vague echo of the attack, but you don't see the attackers, you only see the victims.
Oh, yeah, something bad happened here.
Yeah, whoever they are, they really suck at drawing targets. I'll do a survey or a study.
You find some blood stains.
Looks like some people really got hurt here, huh?
I mean, we did get a little bit more information than just the attack. We have this symbol.
Oh, it's a symbol.
Huh. Oh, this? Yeah. Yeah, this is...
I thought it was a target.
No. This is the symbol for the Father of the Abyss.
Can I just assume, based on the name, that it's bad?
She can make whatever assumptions she would like.
So, Father of the Abyss.
It's
cool. I'm out.
No. This is our lead. We know which cult is going after these guys now.
Okay, and they work for someone called the Father of the Abyss.
They more like worship the Father of the Abyss. It's like it's a cult, you know, how cults do.
Okay, and of the Abyss.
Yeah.
You can see why I'm not keen on the whole worshiping a god of destruction and nothingness.
But I would imagine it would upset most people, yes.
So you guys gonna keep poking around, or have you seen enough?
Yeah, I think I've seen enough. I'm gonna stare down the symbol for a little bit longer and do the little I'm watching you fingers.
Well, why are you watching me? I'm not doing anything. I'm not a cult person. I am solitary in my practices.
Oh, sorry. No, it's fine. I was pointing at that.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Got it.
In case it has, like, some of your weird ghost thing.
No. This is literally just paint.
Oh.
Yeah, we're fine.
Okay, cool. And then I flip it off and I start walking away.
Okay, so the four of you reconvene, meet together at your lair to start planning?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So let's say you guys gather back up a few hours later in the common room of the nest. So why don't you describe your lair? Tell us about the nest.
Well, first of all, it's in that weird abandoned tower.
Yeah, it's an abandoned watchtower.
What's the name of the district of town again?
Six Towers.
It like used to be a fancy noble district, but now it's all dilapidated and run down.
Mm-hmm. And there's all sorts of spooky stuff. If I remember correctly, Minx wanted to decorate the whole place nicely, right?
Right. Her room is just, like, choked with stolen finery and curtains and rugs and shit like that. And it's just full to the brim of tacky niceties. And she's always begging to let people decorate the rest of the common area. And they're probably like, yeah, no.
So, yeah, what's the common area look like? What do you guys have in there? I know you have furniture that you stole from the Grey Cloaks, at least.
Yes, we have that really nice tapestry.
Right? You have a very pretty tapestry that you stole from your first score.
We probably have a big old table with a map on it.
Probably like a big bowl of those magpie pins that we keep leaving everywhere.
Yes.
Yeah, we had to order those in bulk.
Whose idea were those?
Mine.
Yeah, definitely. That 100% seems like a Minx thing.
Listen, aesthetic is important. Branding is important.
Amira would agree that branding is important.
I was just in it to punch things.
And I just imagine that there has to be some kind of, like, scarf pinned to the ceiling or something to give it that ambiance for Minx.
Mm-hmm.
Minx learned that she can't just, like, do everything all at once. She's been, like, slowly sneaking more things into the common area, like, one at a time.
Just little pieces of it.
It hasn't reached critical mass where the others have noticed yet.
Yeah, just there's a slow trickle of kitsch slowly emerging from her overstuffed room to everywhere else.
So, you guys have some information. What are you guys thinking for a plan?
I feel like just standard second story entry will do us here.
So we're looking at stealth with a second story entry point.
So you're going to try and just go in through an upper window? All right, so now we figure out the engagement roll. So we're rolling 2d6 to see how things start. Okay, pretty good. Could have been worse. So you are in a risky position when the action starts. So we cut to the four of you on the roof, as usual. You're at your chosen window. You're about to try to start pulling it open when whoever is opening the window notices the alarm system that's hooked up to the window.
Who's best at disabling this sort of thing?
I have one in Tinker.
I think everyone else probably has zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So the problem is the mechanism is inside.
Oh.
Well, can we see some other way in that looks relatively clear?
You would have to do something to try and find an alternate entry point.
Would you like me to roll a survey?
That would be great. So this is going to be a risky standard effect.
What would a devil's bargain look like?
What would a devil's bargain for here look like?
Proposal.
Yeah, I'm open to ideas.
It's the kind of way in that we can only get, like, part of our crew through.
Oh, I like that. So, you're looking around, and you realize there's a smokestack that tinier members of your party, so Blair and Myra might be able to fit in, Blair and Myra, but they would end up, like, covered in soot. However, in order to see this, you have to, like, stand up and move around a little bit, and you're walking around on the roof makes some noise. So we're going to start a clock. Blue coat alert, and we are going to call that you are at, let's see, that was risky. Yep. I'm going to say you're at 1 out of 6 on that. Actually, no, this is just going to be a 4 o'clock because it's their home turf. They heard some noises. It's not enough that they're investigating yet, but you did see a way in.
So Myra knocks Blair on the shoulder and she kind of nods to it.
Huh?
That smokestack. You think we could get through that?
Yeah, I think I could. What about you?
I could probably do it.
All right, let's go.
We'll let you two in.
Very well. I'd rather take the clean route.
Yeah, I don't really care about clean, but I mind about fitting.
My face is literally covered in dirt all the time. It's fine.
It's a tight fit, which on the one hand is good because it means you don't just plummet down. But on the other hand, it is kind of slow going. And you have to kind of shimmy down for a while. This is not letting out on the second floor. It might not even be letting out on the first floor. And when you finally get to the bottom and sort of roll out, you are in a small room, stone walls and floor, lit by a single electric lamp by the door. You rolled out of the trash chute, essentially. This is like the incinerator room.
Where I belong.
So this is the place where they burn all of their trash.
Mm-hmm.
Sick.
So the two of you are in the basement.
Yep.
And the window that you were going to let your friends in through is on the second floor.
How do we get up there?
I imagine the stairs would be...
You're not there. You're sitting on
a
roof.
I know, I'm just saying.
It's like a cut from like them figuring out what they're going to do to like these two chuckleheads sitting on top.
Sitting up would be too much, so I'm imagining like you're both just kind of like laying on your stomachs, chin resting on your folded arms, just like looking at each other, looking at the window, looking back at each other. So yeah, Blair and Myra, what are you two doing?
Is there a way to kind of peek out and see if there's a clear way?
Sure, you can go to the door and crack it open, take a look outside.
I'm gonna do that.
Okay, open the door, glance out. There's a hallway. It looks like there are stairs at the far end of the hallway. There's also barred cells on either side of the hall. And you're guessing, based on like, you can kind of hear some faint noise of movement and some shadows shifting in the lights, that at least some of them are occupied.
Meanwhile, outside, Minx is gonna improvise a little bit. So, okay, I'm just going to pick, like, a particularly rowdy gang. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to, like, take a cloth, cover it in soot. And then what I want to do is there, like, an alley on the side of the building?
Yeah.
Okay, what I want to do is hop down there. Is anyone around on the street?
Nope, not at this moment.
Sweet. So what I'm going to do is, hopefully without them immediately seeing, just sort of, like, smear with the cloth across the front of the building that this gang or whatever, some really lewd insult to the Blue Coats.
You could.
And then, like, sign it with their logo or something.
So in terms of gangs, you could go with the Lamp Blacks, which is your rival's gang. So you could make it so that, like, the Lamp Blacks are telling the Blue Coats to go fuck themselves.
I'm going to smear that there, and then I'm going to pull out a pistol.
Okay.
And then I'm going to shoot one of the far windows.
Okay.
Probably on the ground level.
Yeah.
Just shoot it out and then get back up on the roof.
Okay. You're going to need to roll me something to get back up.
I feel like finesse or prowl or something.
This is probably prowl.
Okay. What's a devil's bargain here look like?
Oh, this gets back to Bazo. He hears about this.
Oh.
Yeah, he's gonna know that your gang used his gang to pull some shit with the Blue Coats. He's gonna hear about it.
Oh, God.
That's the devil's bargain I will give you.
And Nyrix isn't gonna like me either if I do that. Fuck it, I'm gonna take the devil's bargain.
Excellent.
Nice.
Six. Okay, yeah. Wow. So you smear this graffiti on the front door. I imagine you get, like, a running start, like, towards wherever you're going to jump up to do your climb, and then just, like, shoot and scramble up back onto the roof. Cutting back to the basement, you two are, like, standing. I'm picturing that you're doing the, like, heads stacked on top of each other, peering out the door. You hear a muffled gunshot, then sound of shouting and footsteps running upstairs.
What was that?
You also hear voices from the cells of, what the hell's going on? Somebody shooting at the station? I hope so.
Whatever it is, I think this gives us an opportunity. Let's just hide our faces, hope these criminals don't notice too much. Get through here.
Is the alarm going off?
Actually, yes. Yeah, there would be an alarm going off. So it's just like a bell ringing.
I just want to make a run for those stairs, honestly.
Yeah, let's make a run for it.
So you guys run for the stairs. Roof people, what are you doing?
Since the alarm's going off, is anyone leaving the building?
Yeah, you get up there and you see about four Blue Coats, pistols drawn, pour out of the front of the building, like shouting to each other of like, do you see anybody? Sweep the alleys, check, you know, like they're shouting orders for to do a sweep.
Mm-hmm. And there's an alarm going off already, right?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so then I think I just pry open the window and we go in.
Okay. Yep, you pop the window open, the alarm continues to go off, and you two can climb inside. So you two are also standing in the hallway. There's a door on either side of you, to your left and your right. You're in like a short little hallway, and then it goes into like a T intersection, so the hallway branches off left and right.
All right.
Boulder, paper, shears to see who goes which way.
Are you sure we want to split us more?
I mean, it's kind of at the point where it can't get any worse.
I suppose you're right. Hopefully, if we split up, we'll meet the other two faster.
Yeah.
Like, do we even want to look in these doors? Do they don't have anything marked on them or anything, right?
No, they have little signs outside.
Okay.
If you guys are glancing at them quickly, you're going to see each nameplate has the name of two sergeants on it. So it's like, it looks like it's two sergeants share each office.
All right. These aren't what we want. Look for like a head honcho's office or something that might keep documents in.
Myra had told you previously that this station doesn't have an archives room. The files... reports would probably end up being kept in the chief's office.
So probably an office with only one name on it.
Yes. And you guys actually know, because it's good information for a bunch of criminals to have. The chief in Night Market is a guy named Edward Mason, and he is well known for his corruption and cruelty.
Oh, he's got to go down.
Yeah.
I mean, the Blue Coats in general are known for their corruption and cruelty, but he's not really standout. He's pretty average in terms of Blue Coat levels of corruption. So yeah, but his name is not on either of these doors.
All right. Yeah, let's look for his door.
Okay.
So the two of you sweep the whole upper level.
Oh, should we like be rolling survey to find his office or something?
Finding his office isn't going to be that hard. because there are nameplates. Finding specific things in any of the rooms will require some rolls. So, like, if you guys want to search any of the rooms up here in any detail, like, if you want to check the little small barracks to see if anybody's got anything valuable.
I think I'm going right for the documents, because time is of the essence here, because I just improvised this distraction.
Yeah, same.
It's not going to take him long to figure out that no one was out there, so...
Okay, Blair and Myra, you guys go running down the hall, and you hear the prisoners shouting after you, "Hey, who are you with? Hey, help! Help! Let me out of here!" Do you guys respond at all?
We just keep running, or at least Myra just keeps running.
Blair is going to stop for, like, just half a step. Who are you?
They call me Fidget. I don't deserve to be in here. I didn't kill that guy, or that other guy, or that girl. I just happened to be in the wrong place.
Sounds like you're accused of being, well, a lot of people.
I didn't kill him, though. Come on, just...
I think Mara's just like...
Just let me out.
I'm sorry, we don't have time.
He just, like, slams a fist against the bars as you go running off. So, you guys get up to the first floor. I'm gonna start another clock for when they come back in. They're about halfway through their outside sweep when you guys hit the first floor. And you're not sure if everyone is outside or not. But you guys are on the first floor. It's kind of like a little, like a small hallway that then there's an open door that looks like it leads out into a bigger room. And then the hallway kind of continues past that with some other doors.
I think I'm going to be looking for the chief's thing.
So you guys kind of check the hallway really quick and then look into this bigger room that has a few desks and some benches and things. And you can see up at the front of the room is the front desk, which is facing the front doors. And there's a woman in a blue coat's uniform sitting there. She's got a pistol in her hand, like, sitting on the desk, and she's kind of, like, leaning over, trying to look out the windows, as she has apparently been left behind to keep an eye on things inside. But she is sitting there holding a pistol. She's got her back to you.
We could do a group prowl.
Yeah, that sounds better. I can lead. I haven't taken any stress yet. Ayy, 6.
Blair, you are very stealthy as you sneak across, and you're going to take a point of stress, kind of. What I'm picturing is that, like, you crouch down really low, and you're, like, sneaking from desk to desk and kind of, like, signaling for Myra, like, when it's safe for her to go. So you guys make your way across the room, and you get to the desk sort of on the opposite side, and there's a door in front of you with a nameplate next to it that says Chief Mason. And then we're going to cut to the other two who are about to come downstairs. Minx and Finn, you guys are coming down the stairs. Are you trying to be particularly sneaky?
Nah. I mean, I'm not. I don't know how Minx is doing.
We're placing speed over subtlety here, I think.
Yeah, which is pretty much always Finn's modus operandi. So,
So you guys come clattering down the steps, and if you guys glance out into that big room, you see Myra and Blair, like, crouched down together behind a desk, woman at the front desk, who is now kind of, like, looking around, back over her shoulder towards the stairs with the pistol in her hand. Seems like she heard you guys a little bit.
Okay, I have an idea.
Uh-huh.
You pretend you're dying, and we'll go up to her and distract her while Myra and Blair are in getting the things.
Okay. But she's going to be immediately suspicious of how we got in here.
It's a police station. We can say we saw the... It was a police station. We needed help.
All right. I'll do it.
Okay. Lean against me. Act like you're dying.
Minx puts on, like, the full waterworks and just goes full drama about it. And is just very loudly is, "Oh, woe is me." And
my friend is dying.
Okay, so are you two making... This sounds like it's a group check. What?
Probably Sway, yeah.
Probably Sway. Yeah. So who would like to lead this?
Who has less stress?
I think you do. How many stress do you have?
Really? I have 5.
I have 7.
All right, I'll lead it.
Y'all!
It's only risking 2.
Yeah, so both of you go ahead and roll your Sway.
For the listeners at home... Match has rolled a 2, and then Minx rolled a 6 and a 1.
So, fortunately, that 6 is the one that's gonna apply. Good God, you come running out, Minx just sobbing, like, stumbling, falling on desks, knocking things over. The woman initially, like, whips around with her pistol up, and then sees you, like, clinging to a desk, crying, and, like, looks baffled, and Lois is like, who are you? How did you get in here? What?
We needed help. They tell us to go to the Bluecoats when we need help, and my friend is dying. I elbow her.
It hurts. It hurts so much.
Oh, okay, so she, like, holsters her pistol and comes over. It's like, what happened? What's wrong? And, like, comes over and is, like, kind of helping you up.
Can I knock her out?
Yeah. You can make some kind of roll to just try and, like, punch her out. So this is going to be risky standard effect.
Well, what's a devil's bargain to give me another D6? I mean, aside from the fact that I'm punching a cop.
Yeah, you're punching a cop in the police station.
Damn.
She's going to remember your face. So a 4.
Oh my gosh.
That's still, so you do it. You punch her, but there's a consequence.
One of my arms is still has shrapnel in it. Could it be with that one?
Oh, yeah. So it's lessened effect. Mm-hmm. I was going to advance the clock on the Bluecoats returning, and she's not knocked out.
Okay.
You sock her in the jaw, and she kind of staggers, but she's not out of it.
Transpowder to the face.
Pocket sand.
Go ahead and you're gonna have to make some kind of roll for it. What do you wanna try and do?
I'll go with skirmish, and what's the devil's bargain here?
Man, you guys are just hankering for these tonight.
Well, we're in one of those rare situations where stress is a more precious commodity.
She's gonna remember you too.
I'll take that devil's bargain. 5.
Okay, I'll give you a choice. Either I fill in the last tick on that clock with the Bluecoats returning and they're gonna come back. Mm-hmm. Or you hit her with the powder, but, like, before it takes effect, she is able to take a swing at you and just clobbers you upside the head.
I'll take that second one.
So you blow the powder, and she just takes a wild swing at you and just punches you across the jaw. You're going to take level 2 harm.
Ouch.
Bloody mouth. So you do have the option to resist.
I do have 3 dice in my prowess resist, so I think I'm going to go for it. 5.
You're going to take, you take 1 stress, and that's going to drop it to level 1 harm, bruised jaw.
Okay.
It's going to make it a little harder for you to talk.
Hard to talk and stuff.
So you're going to be a lesser effect on social stuff until you get that taken care of.
That's like my thing.
Yeah, I know. I know what I did. So while that scuffle is happening, Blair and Myra, what are you guys doing?
I think we're going to go into that office, right?
Right.
So you run over to the office, grab the door, try the door. Door is locked.
Would it be a tinker to, like, pick it?
Yeah, but it's going to be risky with 0 effect because you're so mismatched in terms of tier. This is a tier. You essentially have tier 0 tools that you're trying to use on a tier 3 lock.
Yeah.
So in order to be able to make any progress on it, you're going to have to push yourself.
That's fine. I have the stress despair.
Yeah, take 2 stress and then go ahead and make your roll. Okay, so you do it. There's a consequence. I think that I gotta finish that clock.
God damn it.
And you don't, because you're at lesser effect, you don't have it open yet.
Yeah.
So the scene is Blair and Myra are crouched by the chief's door. Finn and Minx are over by the desk with a blissed out blue coat officer who's, like, staring vacantly into space. And you guys hear boots on the front steps. So you all have about 3 seconds.
I think we get the fuck out of the entryway, right?
Yep.
I want to go find the other two.
I'm ducking behind a desk.
Yeah, the other two, the way that I'm imagining this, there's not a clear line of sight from the front door to the chief's door, but it also, like, with a little bit of walking, they'd be able to see you guys very easily, so you're only a little bit hidden.
Yep.
So they come back in. There's 4 of them grumbling to themselves about the hazing rituals. So they see the woman just kind of standing, swaying a little bit in place, staring blankly off. And
oh, right. I forgot to do something with her.
A couple of them are just like, Lucille, what are you doing? Come on, get back to your... Lucy? A couple of them are still sort of up at the front going to deal with the broken window, but 2 of them come over. They haven't seen any of you yet, but at this point it's kind of like if either of them glances over towards the chief's office, they will see all 3 of you who are huddled there. They're right now they're focused on her, trying to figure out what's wrong.
Uh-huh.
What are you guys going
to
do?
How close are you on that door?
Do you want to make another roll to try and get the door open?
Yes. Would I have to push myself again?
You'd have to push yourself to get effect. If you would like to get 2d6, somebody can take a point of stress to assist you.
I'm happy to do that.
Thank you.
So Myra takes 1 point of stress. Blair, you take 2. And then you roll 2d6. Oh, God.
Jeez.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Hoo boy. Things go badly.
Yeah.
God, actually, I forgot to set position again. I gotta get better about that. Well, I'm gonna give you a point of experience because this was desperate.
Okay.
But they see you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And Blair, one of them takes a shot at you.
No!
And you're gonna take, I mean, severe harm. It's gonna be level 3 harm, shot in the back.
Okay.
But you can roll to resist. If you don't resist, like, you are going to, someone is gonna have to carry you out of here.
No. I mean, I only have, like, 4 stress left to spare.
Well, if you get basically a 4 or higher, you've got a 50-50 shot.
I don't know if I like those odds.
Yeah, well, you can get shot in the back.
I guess for dramatic purposes, yeah.
So Blair gets shot.
No, baby.
Cool. I'm downing that Rage Essence vial.
Okay. Rage Essence. Greatly enhances the user's strength, resistance to pain, and irrational aggression for the span of several minutes. You suffer 2 consequences. Can't tell friend from foe, and can't stop until they're all broken. So, you just start wailing on them.
Go wreck it! Oh.
Probably with a chair.
Yes!
And basically, you're going to get a free, I'm going to say sort of for narrative, you get a free round of just beating the crap out of them, because they are not expecting this. So the rest of you can try to figure out how to get into this door. I will remind you, particularly Blair, you have a ghost key.
I do.
Blair has also just been shot.
Yeah.
Blair can act if she pushes herself or if somebody takes stress to help her.
I mean, I'll take stress to help her.
Thank you.
I only have 1 stress right now.
Okay, so you take a point of stress to help Blair up, as Blair, I imagine, is like pulling out whatever the key looks like. What does the key look like?
Ooh. All right, yeah, it is glowing green. And fuck it, yeah, it just has a skull at the end of it.
Excellent. You can look into the ghost field. And it's actually a little easier for you now, because you are so close to death.
Oh, great.
You can look into the ghost field much easier. Myra kind of is like supporting you, helping you up. I think it's going to need to be an attune roll to get the door open.
That is fair.
Is that something that Blair has to do, or can someone else work the ghost key?
Blair, well, you're helping Blair do it by taking that stress, but Blair's okay. Got to make the roll.
Oh, boy. All right. I got a 2 and a 6.
6 is what you needed. You get the, so you're able to use your ghost key. Myra gets you up on your feet. You're holding the mask up to your face with one hand. You've got the key in your other hand. You look into the ghost field, and it's a little brighter and clearer than it normally is, which is worrying, but you're able to reach out and open up the door, and it swings open, and the 3 of you can get inside.
All right, I'm going to ransack the place.
Yeah, I'm going to look specifically for that report.
Okay, what are you guys rolling?
Survey. And I'm going to push myself to get an extra die.
Yeah, it's all the same for me, so I'm going to roll survey as well.
Did you guys want to do that as a group action?
Oh, please. I'll lead it.
Josie, you rolled a 5? Yep. Okay, Myra takes a point of stress. The 2 of you tear the office apart. So you find it, but there's a consequence. The bluecoats who aren't involved in the fight just yet are going to start calling for backup.
Great.
So I'm going to start a new clock. Backup arrives. Now, fortunately, because you guys picked an hour when not as many people are close by.
Aha!
It's going to take a while. Yay!
You're at 1 out of 6. It's going to be a little bit before anybody can get here.
Good.
You find the file. Fortunately for you also, the chief's office has windows.
Yes! Oh, I was about to
okay,
ask.
Rad.
Yeah, let's just leave through the windows.
Uh-huh.
You guys should leave me, probably.
I mean, I feel like that's a bad idea, but I also don't know how to get you out without you attacking us.
Do we know about the rage vial?
I would imagine you guys saw her down it. She jumped over a desk and started beating people with a chair.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if, like, if Myra's seen that in action or something.
That's kind of up to Finn.
Yeah.
Has she used this in front of you guys before?
Especially because Myra and Finn have been working together while
I think Myra knows. Myra would definitely know that Finn has it on her person all the time.
I want to make a run for her. I have an unusual weapon left, so I can, like, drop a smoke bomb or something.
That if Minx tries to go for it, Myra's gonna, like, kind of grab her arm. No, don't. There's nothing you can do.
Well, we can't leave someone behind, can we? Or is she, like, the Fall Girl now?
Listen, she's going to keep attacking people, including us, until everyone here is dead. So either she gets out of here or everyone here dies.
Alright, well, I guess we better get through this window then. I guess we just hope she shows up later.
That's really all we can do. It's not good.
It's most unseemly to leave a comrade behind, however.
I'm not happy about it either.
Cut to Finn, who was, like, laughing maniacally and, like, I have, like, scary weapons. So she has her scary weapon out. Can they be, like, really freaky-looking brass knuckles?
Yeah. Maybe they're, like, spiked.
They're spiked.
Although I suppose she's not being very seemly herself. Let's go.
Myra's got, like, competing drives right now. It's, like, help the person you're loyal to versus preserve your own life. Okay, fuck it. She's gonna pull out her slumber essence file and run out of the room.
Okay. Minx, what are you doing?
Yeah, I'll get Blair out.
You pick up Blair, who is tiny, and climb out the window and book it. The front desk officer, who is on Transpowder, is on the floor. There's a lot of blood. The other two officers are putting up a fight. Finn, you're going to take level one harm, battered. Like, they're getting some hits in, but you're more resistant to it than usual. So Myra, you're going to have to get in there and somehow get this into her face.
So I think what she does is she immediately kind of, like, runs up behind her and goes, "Hey, come at me."
Yeah, and then Finn's going to turn around to face her.
Myra, it's going to be your role.
I think what it looks like is she's going to be trying to basically stuff a handkerchief into her mouth that is soaked in this stuff. What's a devil's bargain look like?
You're going to take level one harm exhaustion, because this has just been such an awful friggin' night that you're just going to be, like, really drained after this.
So I'll take that devil's bargain.
I have made some mistakes this session.
Good, I can only roll twos.
Okay.
So I think what happens is you try to get it in her face, she dodges, and you guys are kind of just weaving around each other. Basically, it's just taking time, so backup is getting closer.
So with resisting, I have a question. So is that a thing that I can choose to do that at any time? So, like, if at this point some inner part of my mind is like, yo, maybe we should not hurt our friend, could I roll for that now? Or...
If you want to, but be aware that, like, how many points of stress do you have? You have, like, 7, right?
Yeah, I only have 2 left.
Okay, so if you roll anything other than a 5 or a 6,
oh, gosh.
You're gonna take trauma, yeah.
But if I take trauma, I have to leave.
Yes, you can risk that.
I got a 6!
Okay.
Thank God.
So you take no stress, and you suddenly, like, you snap out of it and realize this is a friend.
Oh, thank goodness.
So Myra, she sees this fist about to come at her and then stop, and she's like, is it you now?
Yeah. That was pretty close.
All right, let's get out of here, because it's already pretty close in other ways. There's an open window in that office. I'd rather go outside.
Good plan, yeah. Did I actually hit you at any point?
No, you didn't manage it.
Okay.
Yeah, so you two run for the office, get out. Finn is still, like, kind of, is still feeling the rage vial and is like, Myra, you basically have to steer her so that you're not actually seeing any other people.
I need blinders.
And, yeah, and she's, like, randomly just, like, punching walls and shit as you guys are running.
I'm holding onto her arm for dear life and kind of, like, in an undertone the whole time. Calm, calm, it's okay. You don't have to attack anyone. We're going to go home and it's going to be okay.
I am perfectly calm.
So you make it back to the lair. So where do you guys take Blair to get patched up?
I imagine Sawtooth would have, like, a practice.
So you'd show up at...
at the back door of his practice.
And we're gonna shift into downtime. So you guys are going to get 4 rep, because that's all you can get. And now you're maxed out. We will do coin next session when you guys actually deliver the report to Lonnie and Roxanne. Heat.
We attacked a police station.
So I'm going to say this is, you're getting a wanted level.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Wanted level 1. Okay, so now we're going to transition into downtime. We're going to start with Blair, who is going to be doing recovery.
Yeah.
You can do recovery as both of your downtime actions, which I would strongly recommend.
Yes.
Your first one, you fill 3 ticks on your progress clock. Mm-hmm. Do you want to heal again?
Yes.
Okay. The second one, you fill 1. That will heal your level 3 harm, so it now drops down to level 2. So those are your 2 downtime actions, unless you want to, you know, later spend rep to do more. We'll circle back to that.
Okay.
And we're going to pause now in the rest of the downtime actions. I'm picturing this as like while Blair is being sewn up, you guys start looking over the file.
Mm-hmm. I feel like me and Vinx kind of cluster together, like looking over each other's shoulders, basically.
The file says, essentially, that a group of patrolmen responded to a request for help at the East Queensway Canal Dock, where 2 gondoliers had been severely beaten. They were taken to the station for medical treatment and interrogation. They reported that a group of 6 individuals came up, started asking them some questions about, you know, the sort of things they find on the canals, if they talk to spirits. The 2 gondoliers didn't really want to talk about it. And when they stopped talking, the 6 people who had showed up started attacking them. The leader, a woman who was addressed as Thorn, asked what they knew about someone or something called Kotar, someone named Taya Laren. A comment in the document notes that she's a cultist, and something called a Blood Iron Ring. Both of the gondoliers were able to identify, either via description or by name, a few of the attackers, and the report notes that the attackers had past affiliation with a gang called the Umbra Hunters. The Umbra Hunters, both Myra and Minx, you recognize the name. They were a gang that was active in Night Market and 6 Towers a while ago, but they got broken up by the Bluecoats about 6 or 7 years ago. There was a raid on their headquarters. All of the leadership got arrested. So the fact that they're marked as paid up is weird, because they haven't been doing anything for a long time.
With Finn, she's gonna look over it enough to see the paid up, no charges filed, and then she's just gonna leave.
That is weird. Unless they've been around under a different name. And I mean, we might want to be on the lookout for them. You said they used to be active in Night Market and 6 Towers, right?
Yeah. Yeah, in your neighborhoods. For now, like, you guys look over the file, and then you're gonna be, you know, kind of taking care of yourselves before you deliver it.
That sounds best.
I imagine that people are gonna want to indulge their vice.
Yeah.
Heck yes.
You're gonna heal up.
While she's healing, Minx is just super pouty and doing everything she can to cover up bruises and stuff like that, wearing heavier makeup than normal.
You fill 3 out of your 4 on your healing clock.
Can I spend another rep?
Yeah. So that was your 2 actions, was indulging your vice and getting healed up.
Uh-huh.
And then if you want to do a 3rd...
I think I'm going to spend my rep to instead just make sure I'm healed. Because Minx is like, no, my beautiful face.
Okay, so you are fully healed. Minx basically sits around in the doctor's office and gets healed up and then goes on a shopping spree.
Mm-hmm.
Indulges in all sorts of wonderful luxuries and feels better about things. Finn, you have stormed off.
Yeah, I feel like after that she just, like, she stormed from the nest to the fight pits and, like, doesn't leave for a day and a half.
Okay. So, yeah, you indulge your vice. Are you doing that once or twice?
I'm doing it twice.
You got a total of 8, so you cleared all your stress. Somewhat unsurprisingly, yes, you have overindulged. And so during all those fights, you rant about blue coat corruption and how you guys stuck it to the bastards with that raid on Night Market Station. which ends up bringing two more heat on the crew. And then...
Yeah, I should probably spend her up and heal up.
So you eventually stagger your way back to your physicker buddy.
Yeah, she, like, gets there, she's, like, all bruised up, and she smiles a bit, and she's like, hey, buddy!
He's seen this from you a lot, so he just, like, waves you in and starts getting bandages and rubbing alcohol. So you're gonna fill in two of the dots, or two of the marks on your healing clock. Myra.
I would like to heal, first and foremost. My things are healing, gunshot, leg, and exhaustion. I might just go to my usual guy, because I semi-trust him. I'm still exhausted.
So then you indulge your vice. 5.
God, if I'd rolled a 6, I would have overindulged as well.
Okay, so yeah, you clear 5 stress. Do you want to spend rep to do anything else?
There's some things I can think of to do. I don't need to do them if I don't start a long-term project on researching the stuff we just dug up.
Yeah, if you want to start doing some research.
I'm personally very curious about the Blood Iron Ring.
Yeah, you can absolutely do that. So yeah, mark on your sheet, long-term project. What'd you get?
84.
So you're now 2 out of 8. Blair, you wanted to spend a point of rep to do something else to indulge your vice?
Yeah.
Yeah, so just roll 1d6.
Cool, I got a 2.
Oh, you clear 2 stress. You're a little better off. So you guys, basically, you do this job and then have to hunker down for a while because it was... a bad time. But you have a lot of fairly interesting information now, and you do have this connection to these journalists who said they might be able to get you some more information in the future. I think we're gonna wrap it up here with you guys gathered back in the lair, licking your collective wounds, and preparing to go out to collect your pay and hopefully get a little more information about all of these weird things you've just uncovered. Thanks for listening. The Magpies will be back in 2 weeks. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at @magpies_pod. The Magpies podcast is hosted and produced by Rhi. Follow me on Twitter at Rhiannon42. Blair Culhane is played by Kim Kogut. Follow her on Twitter at @KimDeannaJones. Minx is played by Josie. Follow her on Twitter at @DragonGirlJosie and watch her art streams at Pictaro.tv/DragonGirlJosie. Myra Keel is played by Minna. Follow her on Twitter at @MinaMinar. And Finn Haig is played by Madge. Follow her on Twitter at @MadgeQuips. The opening and closing theme music is from Trio for Piano, Violin, and Viola by Kevin MacLeod, and is used under a Creative Commons license. The Blades in the Dark roleplay system is the creation of John Harper and is published by Evil Hat Productions. I think this was a valuable learning experience for everyone.
Yeah, lesson one, don't trust the dice roller on Discord ever.
Yeah.
Don't say it can't get worse.
Definitely.
And drugs are bad.
Drugs are bad.